Hello and welcome to the BizNews Briefing. Tonight we are going to take something that usually is for the preserve of economists, the 3% inflation target, and explain why it will change your life. If we get it right, and we all need to contribute to this, it means you won't have to take money offshore because the Rand will become a strong currency. Believe it. We'll also tell you a little bit about a South African tequila. Let's get into the main news headlines of the day, and unquestionably the one that stands out is that Nedbank and Transnet have come to a settlement which goes back to 2015 and 2016 and the whole state capture saga where Transnet had a loan of 12 billion rand that was changed by Nedbank. Nedbank made about 40 million rands worth of a profit in changing the loan. It's now settled for 600 million because the loan was to do with locomotives, and it appears to Transnet anyway that the share or the interest rate swap that was done there, don't worry about the complicated jargon, was really just a way to profit gouge, and Nedbank has accepted no responsibility. It, however, does have new management. Transnet has new management. And so they said, let's get on with life, let's settle, and the taxpayer is going to get 600 million rand more. It's not by any means the biggest settlement. That dishonor goes to SAP, the software company, which paid out a total of 4.1 billion rand. This after it admitted that it had corrupt practices in South Africa. That went on in the United States. The Department of Justice there took on SAP. They paid a $220 million fine, and they paid us 2.2 billion rand. McKinsey famously paid us 1.1 billion rand to South Africa and then gave back its fees of 63 million. Seems like KPMG, who paid a 63 million rand fine, got off pretty lightly. On the corporate side, Tiger Brands brought out its financial results today. That was for the year to end September. Shareholders will be delighted with a dividend that is up 59%. On top of that, they got a special dividend of double what the normal dividend was. And this is after they've managed to sell off some of the loss leaders and restructure the business. At an operating level, Tiger Brands is showing very strong headline earnings per share, up by 20%. But the underlying business is not doing that great. The revenue for the whole company, and there are many brands there, Jungle Oats being the most famous of them perhaps, only ticked up by 3% in the financial year to the end of September. And today we had a report for a proposal from National Treasury to start clawing back money for the fiscus, for you and I, from the online gambling boom. Well, in South Africa, in the past year, according to the Treasury research, online gambling surged by more than 31%. It has been flagged by people like Pick n Pay Chief Executive Sean Summers as a very big problem for South Africa. The numbers now, it's something like 1.5 trillion rand that is going into online gambling, a lot of it into sports betting. It's okay, I suppose, if the Springboks keep winning, but if not, Also, on the other hand, casinos are stagnating, but online betting is dominant. And you can see even companies like Hollywood Bets and Betway having big presences around the world with money that they're getting from South African online gambling players. Treasury wants a 20% national online gambling tax to be introduced. This in addition to the taxes that the provinces already level. They are in single figures. Right now, South Africa is one of the cheapest places in the world to be an online gambling operator. The taxes here are far lower than anyone else, and Treasury is arguing that there are, as a result, quite a lot of problem gamblers on the one hand, and higher taxes will start affecting that big issue. And on the other hand, well, let's be fair and make sure that the fiscus gets 10 billion rand, which is due to it. On to our big story of the day now, and we take a deep dive into that 3% inflation target. The Minister of Finance has been resisting this for quite some time. despite the very strong economic reasons and a very, very powerful campaign that has been waged by the governor of the Reserve Bank, Lesetša Ganyaho. Until 2 weeks ago, the South African official policy was that we had an inflation target of 3% to 6%. What that means is, well, they would, most people would target the 6%. So if you have an inflation target in your country of 3 to 6% and you want a salary increase, are you going to ask for 3? Well, the Minister of Finance, Enoch Godongwana, has been camped against this for quite some time. But 2 weeks ago, he and Lesetša Ganyaho, the Reserve Bank governor at the MTBPS, shook hands and said, okay, we're going for a 3% target. Why, though, was Godongwana so against it? Economist Darby Ruart from Efficient Group outlines why.
Very importantly, if you look at the budget of the Minister of Finance, you will see that he's budgeting for increases between 4 and 5% over the next couple of years. So he's budgeting for an increase in state expenditure above 3%. So his expenditure needs to be adjusted in line with the inflation targets now as well. And we know politicians don't like this. We know politicians like to spend a lot of money. But there's another reason. And that is, remember, inflation erodes the value of money. But inflation also erodes the value of debt. And the Minister of Finance got plenty of debt. And he wants less debt. And one way of reducing your debt is in a high inflation environment, and that erodes the value of the debt of the state. And we have a debt problem.
Cody from Paul has sold multiple vehicles to WeBuy Cars. Suspicious?
I think so.
Is that a crime?
No. Where are you getting the cars?
I buy them and I sell them at the spot like a normal person.
Okay.
No, man, I'm just an accounting student. I know a good deal when I see one.
That's Excel meant. What's more stressful? Tax season or selling a car at WeBuy Cars?
Tax season, obviously.
WeBuy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Okay, we've got a debt problem. Inflation would have taken it away. We're going to have low inflation. But that's very good on so many levels. The rand will be stable. You will have a low inflation destination for international investors. They won't come here and worry that, well, when they try and take their money out, that the rand's going to be so weak that they'll actually take out less in their own currency than they brought in. How, though, does the Reserve Bank governor's victory of introducing this 3% inflation target get transformed from mere words into actual practical reality?
It's a psychological game. You're telling everybody inflation is going to be 3%, it's going to be 3%, it's going to be 3%. And eventually people start believing this and the process of inflation is halted by people not asking for 10% or 5%, but actually asking for a 3% increase now because it is there. And I think Lesetša Ganyaho did a brilliant job with an open mouth policy. Not only through open mouth policy, but also through the right macroeconomic monetary policy. But by keep on telling everybody about inflation, how it must be reduced to lower levels, he actually succeeded in getting inflation expectations down as well. So actual inflation at the moment is 3.6%. Inflation expectations is actually a little bit above 4%. We need to bring that down as well. But inflation expectations have been coming down. And that's crucially important. That, in fact, is far more important than actual inflation, because inflation expectations tell you more about future inflation than actual inflation. Is water under the bridge. There's nothing you can do about that. That's past. But you want to know what inflation expectations going forward, what that is. Because that tells you much more about what really is going to happen to inflation.
Well, it could be such a big thing, but we all have to play a part.
In a high inflation environment, it's impossible to get the economy to grow. Low inflation doesn't guarantee strong economic growth. We've had relatively high inflation. The Reserve Bank increased interest rates to slow inflation down. They succeeded in that, but we had to postpone economic growth. And now we are in a position where we can start getting the benefits of low inflation. And one of the crucial, important benefits of low inflation is, of course, lower nominal interest rates. But there's a huge responsibility on all of us now, a huge responsibility. And that is, when somebody comes to you and says, listen, I want to increase my prices above the inflation rate, just don't accept that. In fact, you don't even want a 3%, you want a 2% increase. So put up a fight. It's our responsibility. I don't accept an increase in prices. But you have to remember, there's another responsibility now. If I want to increase my wages more than 3%, I must increase my productivity first. And then I can ask for more than a 3% increase. So do not accept increases in prices above the inflation rate. It's a responsibility of all of us to get this inflation lower. We've made the pain is behind us. Much of the pain is behind us. Now we've got inflation down to just over 3%. Now let's keep it there and let's do not accept another ridiculous increase by Eskom. We just simply do not accept that. The same goes for the local authorities. The same goes for Transnet. The same goes for whoever, whatever. You can only increase your prices if there's an increase in value of your product or an increase in productivity. Only then are you allowed to increase your prices. It's our job to make sure inflation remains where it is. It's good for the economy. It's going to be good for all of us.
In the Tell piece today, my colleague Linda van Tilburg spoke to a returning SAFA. He'd been away for 2 decades, who is finding a product in South Africa that's going to take on tequila. It's made from red agave rather than the blue agave, which is endemic to Mexico. And he found this secret sauce in a most unusual way.
It's quite an interesting story how we actually found this final agave that we worked with. One night we were supposed to have a meeting with a lady near Oudtshoorn to discuss actually setting up a planting regime there. And it was Valentine's Day. And she had a date. So in the end, we changed that meeting to lunchtime and drove further on down to a place that we'd stayed before. And that night we happened to bump into another farmer who said, "Oh yeah, I've got those things growing on my land." The next morning we went up this valley and discovered a completely different species of agave, which was the one that we were looking for. And it's what we call the red agave. And it's very interesting, because this plant grows in an area, it's just below a mountain range, very, very harsh, high altitude. The soil is an ancient seabed, and the soil is so salty that when it rains, which is very rarely, it actually forms a salt crust on the soil there. And basically working with agronomists, we found out it was the combination of these sort of stress factors, but at the same time, there's this mist that comes in the morning and gives it just enough water to help these things grow. So you've got this place that is now going through I think it's the worst winter drought in 53 years, is somehow producing these amazing species of agave. We 100% want to build the local market, focus on the local market, learn in the local market. We're working with local bartenders to come up with our signature serves. We want to produce the foundations of everything in South Africa with the ambition of taking it internationally.
That's Sebastian O'Keefe, a returning SAFA. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, cheerio.